once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, how my heart does rejoice when I hear his sweet voice. In the tempest to him I then flee, there to lean on his arm, safe, secure from all harm, since he reached down his hand for me. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me.
Thank you for that, Nick. Okay, we are back in the book of Proverbs. We are starting a new, this will just be a one-week lesson. Last time we finished a lesson was about, relationships, maybe 8 or 9 weeks. And so this one will just be a brief one-time lesson. We're going to look at the prepared man, being prepared. We understand what wisdom is. Wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth to life. And God's truth applies to every aspect of life. Okay? Sometimes we use the word relevant. Now, some people use the word relevant in terms of the Bible, and they don't use it correctly. They misinterpret. Relevant means the Bible has to do with what's relevant in our lives today. Everything we face, everything we go through, situations, trials, problems in our life, the Bible speaks to those issues. It doesn't. Now, what some people have made relevant to mean is that we're going to change the Bible and make it fit society. That's not relevant. That's ignorance, all right? But the Bible is relevant to the situations of our life. It helps us in every single way if we'll just look at it. We see that, and we're going to look at the verses in a minute, God gave us seasons on this earth, okay? Each, you look at the different seasons of the earth, so of the different time frames, each one is different and is associated with something. Now, some of these you ought to take by faith because it doesn't happen in California, okay? Fall is the changing of the color of the leaves, and they actually have leaves. How many have ever lived somewhere where they actually have fall, okay? Yeah, we have fall. It's in October, and it's usually hotter than it is during the summer, okay? It doesn't work out for us. Winter has colder weather. We actually didn't get really cold weather this time. We actually got some rain. That was nice. Spring. What do you think of when you think of spring? Love, okay? And it doesn't work out very well. Summer. Summer's warmer. We really have a mild winter, and we have summer, and that's about it around here. But there's different times, and there's different things that go on in life. We talk a lot, and we won't talk much about it tonight, but we talk much about preparing for summer. There's a different time of the year. Life is also filled with seasons, is it not? One day, you were young. Some, now you're not young anymore. I remember my wife, and if she's told me this once, she has told me this probably 1,000 times when we first got married. Her and her church went to some rest home or something, and they were there as a church, as teenagers, to be a blessing to the older folks. And she said there was a sign in there that said, I was once young like you. You will soon be old like me. That's encouraging, isn't it? And she told me that, I think, on our honeymoon. I remember that, and I've heard it over and over and over. And the older we get, it's like, quit saying that, because it's starting to come true. I don't want to hear it anymore. But you have your youth, you're a child, and then you have your teen years and the different things that go along with being a teenager. And then if you're married, you had a time when you were single, maybe that time of life. And then we have several of the couples in here. You've been married in the last year. The young married, that's a different time of life. And then young parents, your first child, and trying to raise that, loving that little kid. And then you're maybe a parent, and your children are getting a little bit older. And then you have your parents of adults. And then, praise God, the best of all, grandparents. Okay? You don't have to deal with them all the time. You can love them and all that stuff and send them home when they get on your nerves. And then this will never happen in our house. My wife made sure of that. Empty nesters. Now, I've heard rumors that this thing happens where all of your children get married and move out. Okay? So we're working on that. But Emily right now is 10. If Emily were to get married by 22 and she was the last one out of the house, I'll be dead a couple years after that. I mean, come on. She messed up our plan. Then seniors. You get senior discount. Amen, Brother Jerry? I don't want it. Say, oh, do you apply for senior? No, I don't want it. Keep it to yourself. But there's different seasons of life, and there's different things that come with that, responsibilities and different things. Look, when you're younger, I remember when I was younger and I was going through Bible college, and this isn't poor me, but, you know, we would get by on 4 or 5 hours sleep a night all year long. That was just normal for us, and I worked third shift. And so I'd get up Friday night at 8, I'd work all night long, I'd come home, and then we would go out and visit our bus routes until 9 o'clock at night. And so it's like when you're getting 7 to 8 o'clock at night, we've been up almost 24 hours. I worked the full shift and we're just running down the stairs. It's no big deal. It's like now we can barely walk down the stairs, okay? You get a little older, things change. You get hurt, you heal up fast. The older you get, it doesn't heal quite so fast as it did before. So there's different aspects of life. Look at the verses in Ecclesiastes here. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time, but that's not after you get married, a time to heal, that's after you get married, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, for Raul, that should be all the time, and a time to speak, never, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. He's just basically saying there's all different kinds of times and situations in life, and that's just normal. But the key to how we deal with these different things is how do we prepare for them? In the context of thinking of summer, which is one of those times of life, Proverbs 10:5 in your paper there says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You gather in the summer. Why? Because you know that winter's coming. And you're not going to be able to do that. You better be ready for the winter, the time of harvest. That's the time to get out there. Why? Because harvest comes, and if you don't harvest it, it can go bad. It can rot. And so you need to take advantage of that. Now, he talks in the two sections of verses we're going to look at as we look at this thing of being prepared are Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28, and Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 8. These are both very well-known passages. Proverbs chapter 30 says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Proverbs chapter 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Provideth means to prepare or confirm, to get ready for that time that is coming. All of us have different times of life, and we better be prepared for those different times. The fact of the matter is, everything we do, everything that's coming up, it's better if we just prepare ahead of time. How do we do that? Well, God uses these four small creatures, primarily speaking. The ant in our verses gets the primarity. The primary is primarily the one that he uses, and they'll teach us. So from these passages, I want to give you some thoughts that will help you to prepare for life, to prepare and navigate the times of life. Okay, here we go. How do we prepare? Number one, know your weaknesses. Know your weaknesses. You say, I don't have any weakness. Come see me. I can tell you what yours is, all right? We all have weaknesses. Look at the verses there. I think I get the little quotes there. The ants are a people not strong. We know that. The conies are but a feeble folk, not strong. The locusts have no king. That's a downside. They don't have one leader. They all have weaknesses. Now, as we look through it, we're going to see what they do in preparation or what they do to overcome those weaknesses. But all of us have weaknesses. And let me say this. Whenever there's a change of life, could be a change of season, if we're not careful and we do not prepare, we don't understand the weakness that's coming because of that time of life, it can overwhelm us. And we could get off base even spiritually. I've seen it way too many times. Someone is doing well in their life and their walk with God, and there's some change in their life or in their schedule or in their life situation, and it's not handled properly. And because they didn't handle it properly, they start to struggle. By the way, whenever there's change, there can be a struggle. You know, if you're single, it's not a struggle when you get married, but it's different. You get married, there's change in your life, and you prepare for that. When you have children, they're a blessing, but they're also a serious change in your life and your schedule. That's why you have to prepare for it. It's very, very important. Be careful of the decisions that we make when there is a change. Sometimes people get confused and like, why am I feeling like this? I just don't understand why I'm having these feelings or I'm starting to have these struggles. If you look back, because there probably was some type of change in your life. I listened to a man who used to live in California. He moved out somewhere on the East Coast to pastor. And California, the weather is really good. And so he said he was out there on the East Coast, and he would it was a small church, so he would work sometimes in a coffee shop or a coffee place. And he said, you know, he just all of a sudden he just started feeling just a little discouraged and a little down, and he couldn't figure it because that's not how he normally was. And then he said he kind of figured it out. Out on the East Coast, they have real honest to goodness winter, and it's gloomy, and it's cold. Okay, and you ain't going out. And he said he had to adjust because he was used to California where, come on, rain, give me a break. It kills me. Sometimes we'll leave the house. It's freezing. It's like, it's freezing. We used to go to college in Chicago where it was 80 below zero, 40 below zero with a wind chill. And you're going to say it's freezing because it's 51 degrees? Really? Okay, but sometimes you move that situation, and they talk about that, right? You live up in the Pacific Northwest. If some people aren't used to it because of all the rain and the gloomy, you can get gloomy. People in Alaska, they certain times of year, depression is high because they may get 1 hour of sunlight, 4 hours of sunlight. It's dark the rest of the time. So different times of life, and that's happened. It happens in different situations. We're not prepared for those situations. They kind of slam us. We don't understand why we're feeling that way. Now, we all also, to navigate through life, you need to understand two types of weaknesses, okay? Two types of weaknesses. I think you have a paper there. Number one, or it's no number, just you probably have a blank. Ones that are specific to you. Weaknesses that are specific to you. Now, We're talking about the times of life, but also in preparing, it could just be weaknesses in your life. It doesn't matter what time of the year. You just have some weaknesses. And a lot of sometimes, some of us have a, now all of us are sinners, but some of us, there are certain things that can be more of a struggle for us than it would be to somebody else. Okay? Look, it's like James mentions in James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own, and what's that word? Lust. Now, when we think of lust, we think of immorality. That's the word means desire. Desire for something that's wrong. And so the thing is, we're tempted, and Satan tempts us. He has very specific bait. You're going fishing. You want to catch a certain fish like certain bait that attracts them. And so all of us have things in our life where that was a real weakness for us. That's something, and so that's an area we need to understand our weakness, and we need to be prepared for it, be very, very careful. And by the way, that's a weakness that you know. How can you know that? Well, let me ask, what is the hardest thing you struggle with in your life that you know that's wrong? What is it? When I say that, there's probably something that pops to your mind. That's your weakness, and so what do? You don't make provision. You make provision not to make provision for it, I guess is the best way to put it. Put safeguards. Make sure, hey, I know that's my weakness. I better be very, very careful about that. Stay as far away from it as can. Or ask yourself this question. If you got saved a little bit later on in life, what was the hardest thing for you to give up as you were growing in your faith? Because that's probably the biggest weakness you're going to have. And Satan's going to try to get you back through that weakness. Understand, know your, if you know what your weakness is, you know what you got to work on, and you know where you got to help yourself. So there's ones that are specific to each of us. Number, the next one, ones that are common to everyone. Ones that are common to everyone. There are struggles that just because we're sinners, it's common to everyone. Okay? For men, what would be one of the biggest weaknesses for men? Huh? No, that's not a weakness. It's pretty easy. Women, to be honest with you. You say, I don't have that problem. You should. Where were you Sunday? Anyhow. You got to be very careful. God has created men to be, I don't want to use a strong term there. They're motivated by sight. Yep. Where were you Sunday? Now, by the way, and I'll throw this out there. It has nothing to do with the message. Ladies, help us out. Okay? One place we ought to be safe from that kind of stuff is church. Okay? Don't make us look the other way. And we have to look the other way. And I don't know what you're trying to attract if you're showing yourself, but help us out with that. But it's parents, you got to watch out for your children. For children, a big thing is peer pressure. Okay, watch who they're around, watch what they're doing. By the way, watch the kind of programs and things we put them in. I would not, and this has nothing to do with the message, but I wouldn't put my kids in some kind of secular program. You say, well, that's none of your business. You're right, I know. But I say a lot of things like that. And they're your kids, you can do it. But I'm not going to purposely put my kids in some secular thing where they're around a bunch of kids that don't know the Lord. You say, what, you hate those kids? No, I don't hate those kids, but they're just acting like unsaved kids they are. And they're going to influence your child. And not all of them have enough gumption to just stand up spiritually. Some do. Well, let's help them get through that time. That's a weak time. And ladies, what's your weakness? Shopping. I don't know what your weakness is, ladies. Probably everything. No, I'm kidding. Whatever your weakness is, there's certain ones that are just because we're sinful. Now, knowing what your weakness is isn't just great. I know it. It helps us. It's not a sign of weakness to understand your weakness. It's really a sign of strength. A sign of strength says, I know my limitations, and I know where I better be careful, and I'm going to be careful. Oh, you ought to just man up. I had a relative. Whose side of the family? I'm not going to tell you. But I was visiting with them. Hadn't seen them in a while. And they had struggled with drinking, and they were getting over it. And of course, the government helped with that, with making them go to a program. But they went, and even they recognized. They said, you know, the person that was helping me told me something that was absolutely dumb. Social worker. Not that all social workers are dumb, I'm saying it. But this one told him, if you want to fight this, you should go to a bar and sit there and make sure you don't drink. And he told me, he's like, that's dumb. I'm like, duh. I know. You don't have to have a brain surgeon. Oh, no, you have to be strong enough to fight it. Listen, strong enough means you're strong enough to stay away from it because you're never strong enough to fight it. All right, that was good. Number two, another thing we need to do is hurry. Number two, fulfill your responsibility. Okay, all these were, they had weaknesses, but fulfill. Yet they prepared their meat. They did what they were supposed to do. In spite of the fact that they're weak, in spite of what's going on, they had this responsibility, and so they prepared their meat. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing, working. Let me say this. All of us have responsibilities. All of us. I think you have a little thing there. If we were just faithful to all our responsibilities, we would have a lot less trouble with our weaknesses because we'd be doing what we're supposed to be doing when we're supposed to be doing it. We get in trouble when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing when we're supposed to be doing it. Okay? You ought to be faithful to church. Okay? And you are. I mean, you're here on Wednesday and church is on Thursday. I'm preaching to the choir. Thank you. Being faithful to spend your time with God. Okay? I'm struggling spiritually. The first question, are you spending time alone with God? I know I'm supposed to be doing that, but I'm struggling spiritually. Stop. Go back to the beginning. Are you spending time with God? That's the first step. That'll help you get on the right path. Are you fulfilling your role as a spouse? Well, I come home. Great. But there's more to it than that. Are you fulfilling your role as a parent? You love those kids. Spend time with them. I heard a story from Clarence Sexton, pastor back in the East, huge church. And he said that early on, he started going to college, Bible college, a little older in life. He was already married, had two children. And so while he was in college, he was actually pastoring a church. And he was very busy. He said he came home from you know, he'd go to college and then he'd go to work at the church. He came home from church one day and his wife is there and his two children are there. And his home pastor was there. Just so happens him and his wife are from the same home church. And he's like, hey, pastor, it's good to see you. And he said he could tell right away that it wasn't going to be good to see him. His wife had called the pastor to come talk to them because not that they were having any trouble, but that he was not spending any time at home because he was going to college and he was pastoring a church. And so she got the pastor involved. And he said that the pastor that day gave him great advice. And he said, I followed it for my whole life. And he said, you know what? It took me a little longer to get through college because of my schedule, because I cut back a little bit on some of the things I was doing because my family was more important. Okay? What was he saying? I have a role to fulfill, and I'm going to make sure I fulfill my role. Fulfilling your role in your workplace. Fulfilling your role if you're in a ministry. By the way, when someone is not willing to fulfill their God-given roles, it's almost always because of selfishness. They're not being the husband. Why? Because they're more concerned about themselves. Not being the parent. They're more concerned about themselves. They're not being faithful to God because it's my time. So if we fulfill our responsibilities, that's going to help us to be prepared for what's going on in life. Most of the troubles we have come from not fulfilling our roles. And then we have issues in those areas. Let's fulfill our roles. Let me ask you, are you still growing in your areas of life? When's the last time you ever read a book, period, or just read a book or listen to something or tried to learn something that related to a responsibility you have in life? If marriage is the most important thing in our life and the most important thing in the world, why would we spend less time continuing to grow as a spouse than a doctor would continuing to grow in his area of practice? Okay? Very important. What are you doing to grow in your faith? Oh, Jesus is important to me. I don't want to hear that. I want to see it. What are you doing? What are you doing to do that? Fulfill your responsibility. Number three, understand your opportunity. They prepared their meat when? In the summer. That was the time to do it. The opportunity presented itself right there. God gave an opportunity for them to fulfill at that time so they would be ready for the future. The ants prepared at the exact time they had to prepare. The best time to prepare for something is before you undertake it. When our couples are getting married, we do premarital counseling. And I talk to them. I usually schedule a couple times to talk to them, and I give them a book to read, and I give them some things to listen to. Why? They need to prepare for that thing. Well, even when I got married in June, which is like a week after Bible college ended for the year, and we were engaged that whole school year, and I had outside assignments. I was working a full-time job, going to college full-time. The weekends were all bus ministry and church and serving and all that, so I didn't have free time. But I made sure I carved out time to start reading and being prepared for marriage. And so what I would do is, we had a 45-minute drive to work from the college every night. I didn't do it in the morning because I was tired, but I got a flashlight, and I didn't drive. I was part of a carpool, and I just had different marriage books I had. And that 45-minute trip to work, I was reading about marriage. Had nothing to do with my college classes. I wanted to be prepared. I read many books. If this is a big deal, I don't want to go into this thing and say, oh, I wish I'd have known that. That doesn't work. Be ready. It's like when we had our first child. We didn't take the big thing back then. Everybody took the Lamaze classes, right? And we didn't take it. I'm like, first of all, we couldn't afford it. And second of all, I'm like, that's not a big deal. Well, when we went to the hospital, I found out it could be a big deal. Okay, breathing techniques. My wife's like, ask the nurse, I didn't take the Lamaze class. Do you have any breathing techniques? And the nurse looked at her with as much compassion as she could muster and said, honey, if you didn't take it now, there's nothing I can do to help you. Now, fortunately, my wife had the first one, she had a really fast delivery, so she got through it. And then we YouTubed it, but you can't even do it. They didn't have those back then. But listen, the time to prepare is before. And so get your opportunities. Number four, construct your shelter. Construct your shelter. The conies are but a what? Feeble folk, very feeble. Open to predators. So what do? Yet they make their houses in the rocks. They prepared for outside disturbances that would come by having a safe shelter, because they knew eventually it was coming. And so they wanted to be prepared for that. All of us will have those in our life. Maybe it's a financial, physical, spiritual, a problem in life, some crisis that comes. So you want to have a shelter to help you with that. How well we stand up to problems in life will depend on how well we prepare a shelter for it. Some of the things we go through, we have to just go through. It's just part of life. Others, we bring upon ourselves, and if we're prepared, like the conies, we would avoid it. But we have to be ready. Do you have shelters in your life? What would be some good shelters? A solid, faithful relationship with God. See, most people wait until there's a problem before they want to get close to God. That's the wrong time. That is the absolute wrong time. Okay? Now, I'm not saying if you have a problem in your life, a lot of times it'll draw us closer to God. But we ought to already have that relationship with God so that it helps us to get through it in the first place. That's why World War II, the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor. We weren't prepared. That's when they did the most damage. But if you know ahead of time something's coming and you're prepared for it, you're going to be able to sustain it a lot better. And one of those things is the principles of protection we have placed in our lives. So many people were just haphazard about what we're doing. That's why you got to have principles that you live. This is a principle, and I'm putting this in my life so that I'm sheltering myself. Okay? For guys, you know, look, I don't think a married guy should ever drive alone in a car with a lady of the opposite gender who's not your wife or your daughters or your mommy, okay? If I'm driving down the street and I see you on the side of the road and your car's broken down, I ain't giving you a ride if you're a lady and you're there by yourself and I'm by myself. I will pull over. I will put my hand on your hood, and I will pray for your car, and then I'm leaving. Okay. No, I'll call 911 or we'll not 911. We'll call AAA because we're driving a Ford, and then I'll wait there. You know, but I'm not going to get in a car with you. That's ridiculous. We're not going to do that. Okay. Going out to eat and mixed groups. No. So well, that it's a good deal to do. Do you have any convictions that you have incorporated into your life? These are things God says, and I'm not going past them, period. Godly people we have woven into our life, okay? You know, you allow these people to be a part of your life. Number five, we really got to hurry. Accept your unity. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. Now, that's not the kind of band you're thinking, okay? By groups. In other words, there's no leader, so they all work together in unity. You can prepare to avoid problems in life by having unity. Have unity in your marriage. So many people in our country get married because they have a physical attraction. She's cute, he's handsome, and they got physical, and now we're married, and they realize something. They are so incompatible, it's ridiculous. They don't even believe the same things. And by the way, if she doesn't believe the same things, that beauty is going to really dust off fast. Okay? Beauty gets you in the door, but unity will keep you together. Do you believe the same things? If you don't believe the same things, then you need to move on. In your family, have unity in your family. Okay, same thing. Unity in the church. We have to be going the same direction, same vision, same beliefs. Don't let this unity creep in. Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Got two people, you're going to have a lot better chance. And if you have three, you really got a good chance. Number six, same type of thing. Embrace your community. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all. It's the same thing. It's a group of people. They work as a group. God has given you a great community to help us with life. You know what it is? The church. Now, the number one thing he's given us is our families, our immediate family. We need to be on the same page spiritually. But after that, God's given us the church to help each other out. That's very important. We have too many, solo Christians. You know, I don't need church. I don't need all that. I just need God. Well, you know what? You do need God, but you need church too. You need a group of believers. That was the way of the early church, Acts chapter 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And now they provided for each other and sold their possessions and good and parted unto all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking the bread house to house, and did eat meat with gladness of heart. They were all together. That's God's plan for the church today too, by the way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Being part of a good church family just pushes us, it spurs us forward to do the right things and to be the right kind of person. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging, building up one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, two thoughts about church brethren. Number one, the first little thing is we need them. We all do. Okay? We all need a church family. Okay? Let's not just sneak in and sneak out. Let's get to know each other. Let's encourage each other. Get to your Sunday school class. Get to know the people in your class. Amen. Get people to know the church as you're faithful. And then next, they need us. As you grow, as I was in the church, and I didn't have a lot of kids in the early days of when I was going to church my age that I hung around with, but I got to know some of the adults through there, and they were an encouragement, and they helped me. And then after a while, now it was my turn to try and encourage and help others, get involved in ministry, the bus ministry, Sunday school, and you name it, I was involved in it. And I was now out trying to help others. It's a two-way street. Number seven, forge your destiny. Give me about five extra minutes. Forge your destiny, since we don't have to come to church on Thursday night, right? So it'll be good. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. By the way, they get in your house too, don't they? Okay. So occasionally, we'll get one up in the far corner of the shower. And I'll let them stay there. It's kind of like you give them a name, and it's like, that's Tom. But if Tom starts messing around, he's dead. Okay, it's just like, you can hang out up there, but if you start getting a little closer, okay, you're just going down the shower drain. And I get really close to some of them, and we've had relationships and so forth. But look, that here's this small little spider. But man, he gets into the palace, and he's up there in that web, and he's built a home. He's there. Okay, he's being persistent by what he's doing. Same thing is true with us in our future. How well are we preparing for our future? How diligent are we to get to where God wants us to be? You know, not preparing is like saying the lottery is your financial backup plan. That's a very bad plan, by the way. Or Vegas. A famous quote, there are prepared places for prepared people. Most of us are like the guy who works and hopes for a promotion or a raise just because he works there. He doesn't work hard. He doesn't separate himself from the herd by what he does. He's not striving to make himself a better employee. He just thinks he should be given a promotion because he's been there. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You're prepared for your future and a little bit of diligence, you're going to get somewhere. Okay? We live in an entitlement age. Everybody owes me something. Let me help you with that. No one owes you anything. They don't. Well, the Bible does say, owe no man nothing but to love one another. We do owe that. You want a trophy? Win. Yeah. If you don't win, you don't get a trophy. Now, God bless you for trying hard. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want, look, how many years, Brother Rob, when we started the softball team, oh, you weren't on our team, right? Were you? You went to another team. Too bad for you. We got a team in the softball league, and we played in several of the championship games. And you got a sweatshirt that said Bellflower Softball Champs. It was like 4 years we didn't get anything. We get the championship game and lose. And finally, and by the way, we shouldn't have got a sweatshirt. We didn't win. But finally 1 year, we won. We got a sweatshirt. And you washed it and it faded and it shrunk. Okay? You want a sweatshirt, you got to win. I didn't want them giving me a sweatshirt just because we showed up. You want a job? Apply. There you go. You want a raise? Work hard or get on a forklift. You want a good grade? Study. Let's just prepare for our destiny. You know, we bring that into our Christianity. I just have faith God's going to do something. Well, what are you doing? Nothing. God's just going to do it all. Ain't going to work. God picks up where we leave off. God expands that which we do. Okay? This isn't flesh. I'm just saying, God's not going to just, we're going to sit there and do nothing and God's going to do everything. Doesn't work that way. But God does more than we can possibly imagine when we do what we're supposed to do. Some believe that life works with luck, right? No, it's not luck. Someone said, I believe in luck. The harder you work, the luckier you get, okay? What you are doing now is determining what you will be tomorrow. Very important. If someone is struggling as an adult, I'm going to tell you why. Because they struggled as a teenager, they struggled as a kid, and that's just how life was for them instead of fixing it. All right, the last thing, and we're done. Acknowledge your future. Provideth her meat in the summer. Understand that the future is coming. Let's be prepared for it. Okay? Let's think ahead in life. Let's just not, look, summer's coming. This isn't a summer message, but summer, there's differences. Children are home. They have a lot more free time. Okay? Schedule's a little bit different. By the way, there's nothing wrong with any of that if you take advantage of it and you prepare for it. Vacation, you know, go have a good time on vacation. Now make sure you have simple give and you leave your tithe behind. But have a good time on vacation. But prepare ahead of time. Where are you going to go to church? Take your Bibles with you. That type of thing. Okay, let me just give you the conclusion here. Several things about the wise man, if you put this all together. He had a plan. He has a plan. Okay? Just doesn't hope things work together. All things work together. I know that's when God's doing something in our life, but we're also accepting what he's doing. Have a plan. He lives by principles. Pressure doesn't decide for him. Principle does. Too many of us let pressure decide. People pressure us. When someone starts to pressure me, I immediately just, whatever they want to pressure me about, the answer is no, even if I want to do it. Just no. No. I don't do anything with pressure. I'm going to think about it. Okay? Principle. Don't let pressure. He lives on purpose. He dictates his schedule. It doesn't dictate him. And by the way, don't let others dictate your schedule. The best quote I've heard in a long time was from John Castle. It's in my Bible. Actually, it's not, but it's, don't make your drama my drama. Now, we're here to help. Don't get me wrong. But some people create all this drama, and they wait till the very last second, and they do nothing. And at the last second, when everything's going to implode, it's your responsibility to fix it for them. I don't do well with that. Now, if you come and you see something coming, let's work on it together. But we have to, look, if it's like you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach him how to fish, he'll eat forever. And he'll have a really good time. Okay? He lives on purpose. And the last thing is, he lives with protection. Protection. He places things in his life ahead of time that will help him. And someone just told me this, so I'm not saying this because you told me, but the time to put in a burglar alarm is not after you've been broken into. That was in my notes, by the way. That was in my notes. I didn't just come up with that. All right? Our house got broken into one time, and we put a burglar alarm in, but we put it in afterwards. That's just, it didn't work that well. Okay? But the time to get car insurance is not after the accident. The time to get AAA is not after you buy a Ford. It's before. Let's stand.